Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift it is to be with you all today. It is a beautiful day out there. The trees are blooming and the flowers are blooming, and therefore my nose is stuffed. So bear with me on that front. But it is a beautiful day to gather and be with you as we hear from the scriptures today about the disciples' response to Easter. About the disciples' response to the events of Holy Week. The first reading given to us by the lectionary is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, just a few verses, verses 32 to 35. It shares a bit about the radical way that the early church organized itself in response to the good news of Christ's victory over death. And so we'll read that one first, and then we'll move to our reading from the Gospel of John. Before we read together, let's pray and ask God to bless our time in the scriptures. God of the universe, source of all that is and all that will be, we turn to your word this morning to receive and to be renewed by you. Speak to us. Remind us of who we are and what it is you call us to do, and help us to find our faith again in whatever little pockets and corners of ourselves that we've brushed our faith into this last week. Help us hold it up in front of us again for our eyes as a mirror, that we might continue to grow in the likeness of Christ and become who you have made us to be in his name. Amen. First reading from Acts, from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. And with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. And they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. And now we read from the Gospel of John. And in this reading, we find the disciples on that very same day that the women received the news at the tomb. And in John's telling, the same day that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene outside of the tomb, and she tells the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And I'll tell you now that the sermon title in your bulletin is Doubt and Faith. I thought I was going to be talking about Thomas today. We're actually not even going to get all the way to Thomas. I'm actually not going to read all the way to 31. So I'm just going to be reading from verse 19 to verse 23. And so let's pretend that the sermon title was On Responsibility and Forgiveness. On Responsibility and Forgiveness. All right, let's listen to God's word to us from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. It was the first day of the week, still. And that evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Judean authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. And if you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So I was reading these texts this week. The word that kept coming to mind for me was responsibility. What a big responsibility we have as Christ followers. I was reminded of the first time that I was hired to teach the percussion section of a marching band. I wasn't even quite out of college yet. I was taking my fifth year, my victory lap, as I like to call it. And a school hired me to teach their percussion section, and I had to lead a band camp. And so there were these big three-hour blocks in the morning where we were there with them. I was to work with them on form, drilling fundamentals, teaching the music that they would play. And I remember the band directors telling me as we sat down and they were planning the camp, they told me, hey, you know what to do? Just teach them. Get them ready. And I remember standing in front of those students that first morning for warm-ups and just feeling that deep tinge of nervousness, these beads of cold sweat on the back of my neck in the July sun. And they all, there they were lined up in their rows and they were just looking at me. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I guess we got to do something. And so we started like we always do with some warm-ups. Really boring stuff, right? And very quickly, as we were doing our warm-ups, that nervousness just started fading away. And I realized, and as that week went so smoothly, that all of my hours in bands and drum lines had really embedded in me what it was that needed to be done. I could look at this group and I could see, oh, well, here's what they need to work on, and here's what we can do next. And it sort of flowed one to the other because I had been in their shoes. I had seen what excellent teachers had done. I had been led by excellent teachers, and I didn't even realize until I started teaching myself how deeply the people who taught me's patterns and habits and influence shaped my life and shaped me so well that making the transition from receiving instruction to being the instructor came pretty naturally. Now, that's not to say it wasn't without its hiccups, but very quickly I was able to tell myself and remind myself as I felt those nerves, oh yeah, you know how to do this. You know how to do this. In our gospel reading today, we find the disciples behind locked doors on that first Easter night, and it's still the same day in the calendar that Mary found the empty tomb and then saw Jesus in the garden and came to tell these disciples, I have seen the Lord. And just then, while the doors are still locked, Jesus walks right into the middle of them. I like to imagine he played it real cool. Like, hey guys, what are y'all up to? And then they start to lose their minds, and so he puts a serious look on his face, and he says, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus, sensing their awe and their nervousness, and their questions, says again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What a crazy thing to say. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. And if you don't, they aren't. The first few times I read over this passage, the structure of this verse really stood out to me because it's parallel to some other verses in the Gospels where Jesus is giving his authority to his followers. Twice in Matthew, in fact, once at 16:19 and once at 18:18, Jesus tells his disciples this. Both times he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And here in John, Jesus uses that same formulation to say that through the divine power that he offers them and through the Holy Spirit, they forgive people. And when they forgive people, they are really forgiven. And if they don't, they're not. Forgiveness is serious business. And I think that many of us in the church would rather leave it up to God to do the sorts of things we see Jesus doing, like forgiveness, rather than to live into our calling as Jesus' hands and feet on earth and continuing to do his work here on earth as it is in heaven. We would like, maybe I should speak for myself, I sometimes would really like to leave the hard and nebulous and uncomfortable spiritual work to Jesus. I wish God would just do it for me, or at least have someone more qualified or more holy or more spiritual or more something than me, surely not me. I think many Christians feel the same way. We want the fruits of Christ's life for ourselves, but we don't always want the responsibilities that come with it. Because perhaps we don't believe that we're good enough or worthy enough to even have those responsibilities. Or perhaps we're just not sure that we believe God would give them to us. And yet I think that these are the biggest lies that we believe. These are things that hold us back as Christ people. We believe that we don't have the power to change the world, when actually, we are already changing the world, whether we know it or not, by what we do and what we don't do.